Now, don't you ever want to know something concerning where it was I come from and where I got my learning? Oh, don't you want to know something?
That's Davy Crockett's song. Folks have been singing it for the last 100 years, I reckon. Say, did I ever tell you how Davy Crockett went a-hunting a wife? No? Well, then, settle back and let me spin you another of Tennessee's tall tales.
For the world is made of mud out of the Mississippi River. The sun's a ball of foxfire, as well you may discover.
Just turned 17, Davy Crockett was, and the best hand with a rifle in the whole mountain country. The girl who married Davy would be sure of plenty to eat on the table, venison, wild turkey, bear steak. But she might not be so sure of a table, and never quite certain where the table would be. For young Crockett was a drifter, and poor as a church mouse. It would be a spell yet before fame caught up with him. He wasn't Congressman Crockett or Colonel Crockett. He could lick his weight in Wildcat, sure, but he was in love and plumb scared about it, too.
I had me a new rifle, prettiest rifle ever was, but the itch in my traveling foot was lying quiet. Lordy, I'd been to the seacoast at Baltimore and almost shipped to London aboard a ship with sails. But instead I came home to Tennessee, honing to settle down with a wife.
Most of Davy Crockett's courtship is set down in his autobiography. Say, if you've never read that book, you ought to. Such a heap of drollness and adventure and hunting stories as that man told. But the bear hunter got tongue-tied when it came to a pretty girl.
She'd come over from North Carolina to visit her uncle, and I was head over heels about her. Never mind her name, 'twouldn't do to make it public. When I'd think of something to say to her, my heart would flutter like a duck in a puddle. If I tried to say it, I'd choke up like there was a cold potato in my mouth. It was the darndest, uncomfortablest time I ever had.
Poor Davy. He had to speak out, though, and one day he did.
I love you. You're the darling of my soul and body. When you smile, it's like the gloam of morning peeping over Grandfather Mountain. I can't rest of nights for seeing your purty face. The way you laugh. I'm like to pine down to nothing, just a walking shadow. Will you marry up with me?
No!
That's what she said, no. The news was worse to Davy than war, pestilence, or famine. His cake was dough.
I tried to cool off as fast as possible, but I had hardly safety pipes enough. My love was so hot as mighty nigh to burst my boilers.
Well, falling in love is dangerous, but it isn't necessarily fatal, and young Davy recovered soon enough. He looked around him again and found another pretty girl.
You're sure it's me you're coming to see, Mr. Crockett? Not one of my sisters? They're all of them much to be admired, Mr. Crockett.
No, ma'am. I mean, they're all mighty fine, but it's you I come to see. To ask you, would you be of a mind to go to the reaping celebration with me come Saturday night?
Can you dance a reel, Mr. Crockett? I'm dearly fond of dancing, you see. I shouldn't like to be sitting with my elders while there was fiddle music.
Yes'm, I like to dance myself.
Then I should be pleased to go with you, Mr. Crockett. You see, I thought perhaps with your traveling and hunting and all, you might not feel so at home at sociables.
And off they whirled to a burst of fiddle scraping at the harvest celebration.
Here I was, as bad in love as I was with the girl from North Carolina.
Davy, will I see you again soon?
Would she see me again? I vowed she was going to see me all the rest of her days, if she'd have me. I would have agreed to fight a whole regiment of wildcats, should she want me to.
Did I say he was poor? Oh, he was rich with imagination, Davy Crockett was.
And when one dark and stormy night the moon was mooning, I met Davy Crockett and he was going cooning. And I said, "Where is your gun?" And he said, "I haven't got one." Then how do you kill a coon when you haven't got a gun. Let's go walking out at night. The stars shine bright. They make the world so light when the moon is out of sight.
The time I tell of, though, you'd never have recognized that Davy Crockett. Young Davy was jogging his way to his sweetheart's house to ask her for her hand, and in his head was spinning all kinds of delightful memories of her way of talking and laughing.
Come dance with me, Davy. I like you, Davy. Do you like me as well as I like you, Davy Crockett?
Oh, I was in a good humor that day. 2 miles from her home, I concluded to stop at her uncle's place. Almost said my uncle's place, since I was ready to consider her folks my folks and her affairs my affairs. How was things? I asked the uncle, real gay and carefree. I was shining like the sun overhead 1 minute and hit by a clap of thunder and a bolt of lightning the next.
You're going to the wedding, Davy? I tell you, boy, I kind of wish 'twas you the girl was marrying. We thought for some time, well, we thought 'twas you she'd set her cap for.
You mean she's getting married to somebody else?
You mean to say you didn't know, Davy? Why, boy, I'm terrible sorry. Let me tell you, Davy, women ain't to be held strictly accountable for what they do. No more than a spring breeze knows where it's going. That's how it is with women so far as love's concerned. There's no accounting for 'em.
The rejected suitor of that fickle young lady was angry enough to tackle a peevish bear. Was he born only for hardship, misery, and disappointment? Right then, Davy Crockett felt like a lost dog in tall weeds.
As good fish still in the sea as ever have been caught out of it, Davy Crockett.
I don't like fishing.
Impatient he was. Too impatient to wait quiet and hopeful that someday...
Next time a fiddle tunes up at a barn dance, I'm going to marry the first girl I set eyes on. If and I don't find her, I'm going to disappear so far back in the coves, you'll have to keep wiping at the shadows to find me.
Well, he didn't disappear, and he did go to the next barn dance, and he stumbled right over a lady's feet. The owner of those feet looked up at him and said, "Young man, you're clumsy as an ox. I pity the girl who dances a reel with you."
She was a middle-aged lady, at the whit-leather stage, as they say. But alongside of her was the prettiest girl I ever... I mean, she was sure pretty.
The fiddle struck up. And then the girl's mother struck up. "Young man, you're the Davy Crockett the Widow Hooberry thinks would make me a good son-in-law." Davy froze in his tracks. The old lady continued in a brogue you could have cut with a soup spoon. "This is my daughter. The widow would have introduced us, but she's over there helping with the victuals." Davy couldn't believe his good luck.
"You dance very well, Mr. Crockett. I hear tell you're a famous marksman as well."
"Oh, nothing to it, ma'am. That is, I thank you for your kindness. I don't get to dances very often. More used to hunting and farming and shooting matches. I guess I seem kind of rough talking to you."
"Oh, no, Mr. Crockett. More like a man who speaks his mind, I'd say. You do speak your mind, don't you, sir?"
"I do, ma'am."
Davy commenced to think better of the world and of himself. Until he found that he had a rival and that the girl's mother was on the rival's side. Her Irish was up, as the saying goes. And the burden of her complaint was she couldn't stand to see her daughter marrying a poor man whose schooling was so small he could barely write his own name. $5 in the coin of the country, won at a shooting match, was the most money Davy Crockett ever had to jingle in his jeans. It was with all these worries pressing on his mind that he went out on a wolf hunt.
"I didn't much relish the hunt, for it was in country strange to me, and the thunderheads in the sky were building up fast. A bad storm was brewing, I was sure. The rain ripped loose after the thunder. I hate to admit it, but I was lost. Plumb lost, and the dusky dark coming on, says I was sure I'd never make it back to the farm before nightfall. Then I caught sight of a little woman streaking through the woods, and I hollered. She stopped and turned towards me, and I got the start of my life."
"Oh, Mr. Crockett,
I'm awful glad to see you. I've been tracking horses for my daddy, and I'm lost. Seems like when you're lost, every turn you take is the wrong one.
I've been noting that myself, ma'am. But the truth is, I no more know where I am than you.
Then both of us. I'm sorry to be laughing, but you are such a hunter, and to be lost.
That's about the size of it, I guess. Looks like your ma was right all along. I don't have any book learning to speak of, and here I am failing at the one thing I'm supposed to be good at. Besides that, I'm wet to my skin in all this rain.
I think I'll call you Davy, now that I'm not so scared of you anymore. I was, you know. I don't care what Ma says. Pa's on our side. He thinks you're mighty near the finest young man that ever came down the pike. And if you're not too proud to study with me, I can learn you the alphabet, and then you can read and cipher.
It may take me a little while to learn all that. I'm kind of slow at cotton into school ways. I was thinking maybe...
But you'd be needing a wife, too.
You took the words out of my mouth. Come on, let's run for it. I believe I can find my our way home now.
Now, don't you ever want to know some things concerning where it was I come from and where I got my larning? For the world is made of mud out of the Mississippi River. The sun's a ball of foxfire, as well you may discover.
You've been listening to Tall Tales, a retelling of famous Tennessee legends. Tall Tales is heard every Tuesday evening at the same time. Tonight you heard the story of Davy Crockett. Tall Tales is written by Bill Woolsey. The storyteller was Bob Wiener. The ballad singer was George Grice. Tall Tales, produced by Marjorie Cooney, is a presentation of the Department of Special Program Services and comes to you from WSM, the National Life and Accident Insurance Company, Nashville, Tennessee.